You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurleyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. The Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I was just watching a little bit of the press conference today with Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary.
Suck it to me, baby.
She's answering semi-tougher questions today. I think people are starting to realize that Peter Ducey, that one-horse pony soldier, lying dog face man, is getting more play than any of their networks, because it's crazy when you actually ask questions that people want to know the answer to. It goes viral. People are craving a little bit of actual news. What I do find interesting, though, is that Kayleigh McEnany definitely had her work cut out for her, and Trump, it wouldn't have made a difference if Trump was doing everything right or nothing right. The press hated Trump, and therefore they hated Kayleigh. And there were definitely times where Trump would go on Twitter and make her life a little bit more difficult, probably, than necessary. But it's interesting now because Joe Biden is making Psaki's life difficult as well. And the press loves Joe Biden and they love her, but he just says things that are so contradictory. I mean, on one hand, Fauci says, you know, herd immunity, he thinks it needs to be at a certain percentage. And then Joe Biden comes out and says, I think herd immunity will be good by the summer. And he's been saying so many different things. He talked about how he had this plan and everything was going to be good. And then he came out and said, there is no plan. There's nothing we can do. The trajectory is what it is. I'm obviously paraphrasing here, but it will be interesting to see how Jen Psaki handles all this, because I think the press is going to start asking not tough questions, but maybe questions that aren't about bagels and ice cream and the dogs. If I have to hear one more story about Joe Biden's dogs. It was trending on Twitter. It was the lead story on Twitter all night long, how his dogs were barking and running around the White House lawn. And part of this that I find interesting is that while there's still not a lot of aggressive questions, I should say, towards the Biden administration. The honeymoon period will last 4 years, if not more. There is still so much aggression towards the previous administration. Jen Psaki's already referenced them a multitude of times. I've heard her say, you know, that word they love to use, inherited. They inherited problems. I'm sure that's not going to go on forever and ever. But there's a lot of, for people who just won the White House and the Senate, and they have Congress, they have everything, these diehard Trump haters are still so angry. And they're not as into the unity as I thought they'd be. I thought they'd pretend for a little bit, but they're not pretending. And I'm going to give you an example here, because I find this to be pretty amazing. Joe Scarborough was talking about GOP Senator Josh Hawley. And he is making the conflation that because Josh Hawley was going to question the votes, the electoral votes, that he is part of the incitement of the Capitol, that he's responsible for not just the riots, but for people dying. That is, I mean, this is, keep in mind now, Joe Scarborough compares Trump to Hitler on an almost daily basis. He does that like clockwork. So for him to just speak outrageously about Josh Hawley is really nothing new. This is a daily thing now. I would say he cries wolf, but that doesn't even do it justice. Every single day he talks about how everything that's happening is the worst thing ever, and it's blasphemous, and he loves the sound of his own voice. And so we start talking about Josh Hawley, and it's a really interesting cut because he does what Liz Cheney did yesterday, which is he makes it about, he eventually goes to his looks, which I find to be when your argument gets the weakest. But it's really interesting because he gets so angry and he says, he starts talking about how Josh Hawley went to Stanford and Yale, and he uses it for evil. And it's kind of amazing. I saw it on Twitter. Tom Elliott tweeted it out. And he starts talking about how Josh Hawley is such a thin little guy. He has the bone structure of a bird. And he is holding up the little bird hands. This doesn't sound like a guy whose candidate just won the election. Sounds like a real bitter guy. And it almost sounds like he's intimidated by Josh Hawley and by these Republicans. Because otherwise, why would you spend so much airtime talking about the guy's bone structure? To me, it doesn't make any sense. And Mika just sits there. Let's play the cut.
He led an insurrection. He's responsible for cops being murdered. He's responsible for everything that we saw. He was at the forefront of it. And of course, he's shameless. He's still shameless about all of that. He hasn't apologized to America. But he needs to apologize even, you know, the people that raised him, people that taught him, people that, I mean, they're ashamed of him.
Pause it there for a sec. He was responsible for everything we saw. That is an outrageous statement. That's like saying Bernie Sanders was responsible for Steve Scalise getting shot. And then, of course, Joe Scarborough has to make everything so personal. He has to personally offend people. Because he can't have an argument based off reason or intelligence. That would be too scary for Joe Scarborough. So he has to start talking about, you know, how everyone's ashamed of him. And how this guy should be so embarrassed of what he's done. Because what? Because he disagrees with you? Because he questioned the integrity of our elections, which, P.S. to Joe Scarborough, there's a lot of people, I'm talking millions of people, who had questions about it. Senator Josh Hawley has nothing to be ashamed of. Keep playing.
Read one person after another that taught this guy in school, that taught him in law school, that were mentors to him. They're ashamed to know a guy who used what they say are talents. I haven't seen them yet, but I guess he had talents. I mean, he's one of those little... But he goes to Stanford and Yale, and he uses it for evil. He uses it to kill Capitol cops. He uses it to start seditions against the United States of America. He uses it to do, like, this guy that... He's got the bone structure, by the way. He's such a thin little guy. He's got the bone structure of a bird. And okay. He's holding up those little bird hands. Like, look at that. Look at him.
Joe Scarborough has such disdain for anyone who does not partake in groupthink. And I've noticed this over the years. Remember when Kanye West came out? These pundits, their immediate reaction was, well, he's not very intelligent. And if anyone decides that they like Trump or that they are conservative, these people, they go for the jugular. They say you're stupid. They say people should be ashamed of you. And then the lowest of the low, and this is all they can do, is they go for your looks and your physical appearance, and they try to figure out what they can make fun of you in that regard. And you might say, Grace, well, Trump does that too. But Trump's in the arena. Well, Joe Scarborough sits at his desk all day long. Is he talented? Am I supposed to think that he's a man of great talent sitting next to Mika Brzezinski and talking about how Josh Hawley looks like a bird? And you can tell that he thinks that he's brilliant. All of these people at Morning Joe, they called Trump a bully for 4 years. You're telling me you listen to that cut of Joe Scarborough, you don't think he sounds like a bully? It's embarrassing. And Mika just laughs. I say that on the show a lot. People want to call up and they want to talk about, oh, you know, certain a lot of times it's females. I think female politicians get it a little bit more, but they want to talk about how people look or, you know, make fun of what they're... If you have a good argument, you can talk about that. You can make fun of people's ideas. You can criticize people's logic. But Joe Scarborough loves to talk about what people look like. It's really something. And him and Mika, don't forget what Mika called Mike Pompeo. They when they get backed into a corner, they get really vicious. And so here's my question. If President Biden is going to do such a good job, if they're going to impeach Trump after he's out of office, which is insane, and they have the Senate and the House, what's up, Joe? Where's the celebration? Why aren't you a little bit happier? Why are you still spewing so much hate, Joe? I thought this was a time for unity and decency. It's absolutely pathetic. And the guy loves to bloviate on and on and on about how stupid people are. Remember he said that about Trump supporters, like, don't go near a blender or something? We'll find that. He said tons of comments like that. He's using his Ivy League degrees for evil. He wouldn't be the first one, Joe. I hate to break it to you. My friends at Eden Pure have done it again, and just for this week, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO deal is back. That's buy one Thunderstorm Air Purifier and get another one for free. It's been months, and people still ask me if it really works. Not only does it really work, but it works in hours. I'm going to hold it up right here. Look how small it is. You just plug it into the wall. Our sales rep went down to Florida, and she stayed in an Airbnb, and the smell was a little bit funky, so the mail manager brought her a Thunderstorm. It fixed it. In a matter of hours, the smell was completely gone. The Eden Pure Air Purifier is so small you could hold it in your hand, doing that right now. Plug it into the wall. If you only have one and you start noticing that you're moving it around a lot, this is a really good chance to get another one. That it's so easy to move. There's no air filters that you have to replace. It saves you time. It saves you money. BOGO is back for 1 week. Buy one, get one, but just for 1 week. Maybe you have one and you know how well it works. Now you may want one for your second floor or your basement. Maybe you have a pet or some tobacco smells that works really well for it. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO. This deal ends on January 31st at midnight. The Thunderstorm sells fast, so don't delay. Shipping is free. That's a really good deal. Make sure you get on it. We will be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. David Marcus from The Federalist is coming up at 1:30. He has some really great pieces out there. We'll talk about them in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
This guy that, he's got the bone structure, by the way. He's such a thin little guy. He's got the bone structure of a bird. And okay. He's holding up those little bird hands. Like, look at that. Look at him.
I love Mika's little, she thinks he's so funny. It really just goes
Somebody
to show you
to.
The level of his argument is getting weak. By the way, one question I have for Joe Scarborough, you know, he thinks Trump's such a Nazi and Trump's Hitler and Trump's so evil. Why'd you get so many free drinks from Mar-a-Lago? Why were you and Mika his biggest fans for years and years and years? It's almost like you're fair weather fans. It's almost like you're phonies, Joe.
We got a Yamiche sighting. In the White House press briefing.
The White House press briefing right now, Jared just pointed out to me, is they're really virtue signaling today. A lot of them are taking Dr. Fauci's advice, which we know is never wrong, Jared. His advice is always a sure thing.
It was only obscured by the anecdotal, non-scientific ramblings of that madman who occupied the office before.
Before Fauci was for masks. He was against masks. And before and after, I'm confusing myself. And after he was for masks, he was for two masks. That's right. I'm talking doubling up. two masks, and that's what they're wearing right now at the press conference. Because it's not enough to think you're a good person. You have to show you're a good person. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter today pointing out, and David Marcus, who we're going to have on the next segment, said, you know, why not 14 masks?
And not 100.
Infinity. Ben Shapiro said, infinity masks, I win. So true. Guys, make 2020 your healthiest year yet with Super Beats Heart Chews. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase at GetSuperBeats.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should Ted Wheeler have used pepper spray?
Absolutely not. I condemn it.
Up to 68% say yes, he should have.
Wow. A lot of Ted Wheeler fans in the Grace Curley audience. I don't know how I feel about that. I want to read you guys this piece by David Marcus. We're having him on in the next segment. And he talks about how Mitch McConnell needs to go. That's the title of the column. And I'm going to skip around here for time's sake. But it's really good. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Oof. That's got to hurt him right there. He does not like being the Senate Minority Leader. Has done very good service for the American people. His Merrick Garland gambit was one of the riskiest and best political plays in congressional history. Howie mentions that often. He has seated an enormous amount of conservative judges. He deserves our thanks for that. But he also has to sit down now and let the conservative movement grow into its new form, a form he seems completely opposed to. And that is true. There's something about Mitch McConnell. He's a swamp creature. And now I'm going off of this for a second. He's a swamp creature, and he does not like, I think he liked Donald Trump as much as he saw what he could do when Trump was in office, but he's never liked the Trump movement. McConnell is playing a ridiculous game of footsie with the idea of convicting Donald Trump in his absurd impeachment. It's a bridge too far and an obvious power play, and he lacks the power to pull it off. So why is McConnell playing along with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's charade of impeachment? He thinks he can get the conservative movement back on his and the Chamber of Commerce's team. He can't. If he pushes this impeachment conviction as he seems to be, he should have no place in Republican leadership. It is nothing short of a betrayal of Republican voters. I don't know who McConnell thinks he is appealing to here. It is obvious that conservative voters have not abandoned Trump, even if he has. He seems to think that we will just go back to the pro-war, pro-corporate party he came up in. We won't. That party was destroyed by Trump in good riddance. And why did Cocaine Mitch get the opportunity to fill all these judgeships? Only because of Trump. Maybe he forgot, but Mitt Romney, his buddy in dragging Trump, lost his bid for the presidency in 2012. McConnell has power, but he has no... This is the part that's interesting, because a lot of people talk about how, you know, McConnell had, he did have a lot of power for a long time, but David Marcus points out nobody's buying Mitch McConnell merch. McConnell represents a Republican Party willing to lose everything as long as big business does well. That's over. Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Tom Cotton will fight this fight. These are the leaders we need. McConnell's GOP was destroyed by Trump, but McConnell still doesn't know it. He'd rather throw in with those who prefer losing to fighting. No, we aren't going back to McConnell's losing coalition. Trump lost, but he brought a new group of people to the GOP. A new working class, diverse party is the future, not McConnell's white guys at the Rotary Club. They are welcome to be part of this new coalition, but if they try to kneecap it, as McConnell is, they can let the door hit them on the way out. Go be a Joe Biden Democrat. Trump won an election and allowed McConnell to achieve his goals. Now Mitch wants to throw Trump under the bus. We see it. We won't stand for it. There are better leaders for us in the Senate. Let's have one. McConnell is so out of touch that a campfire couldn't burn his fingers. They are insulated by his corporate connections. Let's be done with that. It is time for us to take Trump's call for a populist conservatism. We have the people, if not the media, but the media follows the people, not the other way around. It is time for new leadership. It is time for Republicans to select a new Senate leader, thank McConnell for his service, and show him the door.
But am I not turtly enough for the Turtle Club?
Jared. I think that's an excellent piece. I think it puts into words how I've been feeling and how a lot of other people have been feeling. We're going to ask David Marcus about this on the other side. 63566 if you want to text in and ask your question. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Tons of news to get to. I'm very excited about our next guest. David Marcus is the Federalist New York correspondent. He also writes for the New York Post. I find myself reading all of his stories about Twitter and big tech and all that stuff. And you can follow him on Twitter at @BlueBoxDave. Today, he tweeted out that he will be wearing 14 masks because he's a good person. David, you are a good person. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
David, my first question is about your article, Mitch McConnell Needs to Go. I think a lot of people feel this same way. Do you think there's any chance that someone would challenge him for the leadership position? And if so, who do you think would do it?
I think it's unlikely in the short term, at least over the next 2 years, just because you'd be challenging to be minority leader, not the majority leader. But you know, should the Republicans have a good midterm and take back control of the Senate, I do think that it's a possibility. There are clearly some people who are challenging his authority. Josh Hawley to some extent, Ted Cruz also seems like he would like to be involved in leadership. And I think the challenge for McConnell is that he really made it clear that he was trying to excise Trump from the Republican Party by playing footsie with this whole impeachment stuff. He thought that there would be a tidal wave of defections. That hasn't happened. So it's left him in a pretty vulnerable position.
And I think what your article does a good job of touching on, which I've seen a lot of people say, is that Mitch McConnell seems to want to have the constituency of Trump or the popularity of Trump without Trump himself. And that's not happening. You make a point of mentioning nobody's lining up to watch Mitch McConnell speak or no one's wearing Mitch McConnell merch. So do you think he has an inflated sense of self or do you think he just thought he could, you know, make this happen?
I think he expected, as many people did, I happen not to, but a lot of people expected that Trump's popularity was going to take a huge hit after the events on the Capitol on January 6th. It turns out that it hasn't. Ultimately, I believe what Mitch McConnell wants is to turn back the clock to 2004, 2008, to the past 30 years before Trump, when the GOP establishment was basically able to say to its voters, you know, we don't really care about your values or beliefs or issues, but we're better than the Democrats, so you have to go with us and you have no choice. Trump proved that they did have a choice and they could get action on issues like trade and immigration and stopping foreign wars and really all of Trump's policy side, which at the end of the day, I believe turned out to be even more important than his sort of cult of personality.
Yeah. My other question for you, David Marcus, this is just something I heard today. I don't even know if it's possible, but I heard this idea being floated around that Mitch McConnell might call for a secret vote. And by doing that, he would kind of hide everyone's identity so that, you know, there wouldn't be such backlash against them and they might not get primaried if they decided to vote his way. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't, but everything that I've heard, both from people that I know who are close to the Hill and colleagues of mine, is that it's extremely unlikely that the votes are there to convict Trump, because everyone realizes, I mean, it would just absolutely set the party on fire.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's really in anybody's interest.
Now, David, I'm talking to David Marcus from The Federalist. I want to switch gears here because I agreed with you on a story you wrote about Lauren Wolf. So our audience knows Lauren Wolf got in trouble. She got fired from The New York Times because she said that Joe Biden arriving in Washington, D.C. gave her chills. The tweet kind of went viral. That she then deleted her Twitter and then she got fired. And a lot of people said that shouldn't have happened for a multitude of reasons. You have a very different reason why you think The New York Times should have kept her on staff. Can you explain that to people?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm against this sort of counterculture stuff, right? So I don't think that you know a dumb tweet or a tweet that shows bias or whatever should lead to people getting fired. But even more importantly, whoever is going to replace Lauren Wolf at the New York Times, and that's a place that I've written for, it's a place that I know pretty well, is going to hold the same political bias, just more quietly. So the problem ultimately that the New York Times has is not that this person showed their bias. It's that that entire building is nothing but progressive bias. You know, we saw that with the Tom Cotton op-ed calling for the National Guard to come in this summer, where you had a complete revolt in the newsroom. James Bennett, who was the op-ed page editor, was basically ousted because of it. Fast forward a few months, and there's 25,000 National Guard in Washington, D.C., and the New York Times thinks this is perfectly fine. So the bias there is so overwhelming that that's the problem that they need to address, not the fact that one of their editors accidentally let that cat out of the bag.
It reminds me of when Obama was talking about the defund the police movement, and he was basically saying, listen, they have to be more subtle about it. And you make that point. You say the fact of the matter is that we are better off with Wolf wearing her leanings on Twitter than we are having her hide them. This rush to cancel people or to hide their opinions, I like hearing people's opinions because then I can go, oh, that's insane, you know, or, oh, good, I'm glad I can see how biased you are. But there seems to be this real rush to just cancel people totally.
I think that's right. I also think that on both sides, and really all throughout journalism, some real serious questions are being asked about whether we ever really had the objective news media that we thought we did. I tend to think we didn't, right? So, I mean, you think back to when there were only three, you know, you had the three news networks doing the nightly news pre-cable TV, right? Just newspapers and stuff.
Yeah.
Those guys hid stuff all the time, right? Like, they weren't talking about JFK's affairs because there were gatekeepers who were deciding, like, okay, this we'll talk about, this we're not going to talk about. Now we have such a fractured media landscape that really anyone with a computer and a little talent can jump on and get into the fray. And I just don't think we're ever going to go back to the point where you can look at any news source as the objective, this is what the news is. I just don't think it exists.
And on that same note, I do want to ask you if you have any opinions on the Ben Shapiro kind of uproar. He wrote the playbook for Politico, and a lot of the people at Politico were very upset. And it seems to be still keeps going. Every day I see a new update on it, like what they're going to do or, you know, how they're all dealing with it and in their safe spaces. What do you think about that? Do you think that they've kind of proved Ben Shapiro's point?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, I'd expect to be fired if I did that at the Federalist. Like, that's not my job. You know, that's my boss's job. And, yeah, it does prove his point. And the fact of the matter is, Ben Shapiro is not some crazy fringe figure. I mean, the big reason that they don't like him, is, among other things, but the big one is that he's very vocal in his positions about the trans movement, right?
Right.
But we see today, you know, we see this just this week or last week, you know, Joe Biden signing that executive order, and you're seeing interviews with these girls in high school and women in college who are losing out on breaking records, who are not getting scholarships, who just don't have, you know, the ability to compete in a fair way. And that's ultimately what Shapiro was talking about. And they tried to cancel him for that. But, you know, the whole thing was ridiculous. It really is, especially since I think Chris Hayes had done it a day or two before. And, I mean, you know, that guy's to the left of Whoopi. So I don't get it.
Don Lemon did it the day after. He's really down the middle, yeah. Though, David. You know, he's a real fair reporter.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that they would go after Shapiro this way, and we've seen it for years, right? It started on college campuses. And I think, unfortunately, what starts on college campuses ends up bleeding into our lives because people graduate from college and they end up in newsrooms at Politico. And they think that this is perfectly fine. They think that, you know, they can say, you know, that people who hold views that tens, if not hundreds of millions of Americans hold, can simply be shut out of the public square because they don't happen to like them or agree.
Now, my last question for you, David, because I'm sure you are watching these press conferences as closely as I am, and I'm fascinated by kind of you talked a little bit here about subtlety and, you know, how Lauren Wolf was lacking her subtlety and she just kind of said what she actually thought. But I am surprised at the lack of nuance of these reporters. They're not even pretending. They're so obviously in the bag for Joe Biden. They have been for the last several months. Have you been watching these Jen Psaki press conferences? Are you impressed at all with any of the questions?
Yeah, you know, they just wrapped one, so I just watched one. And it's really interesting that it really is the complete opposite, right? So whereas whereas Kelly McEnany or Trump himself would face, you know, a dozen really aggressive questions, you know, calling him a liar or whatever, and maybe get like one softball from Fox or OAN or something. Now we see the exact opposite. And, you know, I got to give credit to Peter Ducey, who's Fox's new White House correspondent. He's really, you know, he's really in the lion's den there. And he's the only one who's applying any pressure to Psaki or to Biden. And I think that's just what you're going to see. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine actually during this one, and we are starting to notice the questions from places like ABC and NBC and stuff get a little tougher.
Yeah.
Possibly because they're feeling this backlash, and when they look at themselves, they're like, "Oh, this is not a great look." So that pendulum may swing back a little bit, especially if they're not getting answers to questions like, how many vaccine doses do we have?
Right. And I saw that a little bit too today. I saw Peter Alexander ask Jen Psaki a question that I thought was a little bit tougher than normal. And I think you're probably right. I mean, these people have Twitters. They see, you know, how people are making fun of them. And it's just so painfully obvious. If I have to read any more stories about the dogs at the White House, I mean, I'm going to pull my hair out. So these people maybe they have a little bit of self-awareness left. We can only hope.
Yes.
David, thank you so much for joining us. I was talking to David Marcus from The Federalist. He also has a lot of stuff on the New York Post. He writes a lot about Twitter, censorship, all of that stuff. You guys should definitely read it. I read his entire piece in the other segment, and I've tweeted it out today. Mitch McConnell needs to go. It puts in words that I wouldn't have been able to write exactly how I'm feeling. And how I'm feeling is, Mitch McConnell is throwing Trump under the bus. We all see it happening. I cannot believe he thinks it's going to work. I think he's a little bit delusional, but it's a great piece. Everyone should read it. And when we get back, I want to talk to you guys about that interview, about what you think of impeachment. And if you're going to wear a double mask, are you doubling up? I think a lot of people were struggling to even wear the one mask. So then when you start putting the second one on, it's a bit of a reach. Sticking to your New Year's resolution is a matter of making one right decision at a time. If you're looking to institute some healthy habits and improve your lifestyle this year, I have just what you need. You should check out Superbeats Heart Chews. I love Superbeats Heart Chews because I have pretty poor circulation and it really helps with that. But it also helps with a variety of things. It's heart healthy. Just two Superbeats chews per day give you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to chase your goals. Another thing I love about this is it combines non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract, shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. When it comes to implementing healthy habits this year, I know it can be a lot. You get into the new year and you bite off more than you can chew. Get it? Superbeats chews? But this is an easy way where you can have these, you can feel good, you can feel like you're making a difference for your health, and it's not something where you're going to, in a week, say, oh, I can't do this anymore, you know, forget it, cancel the gym membership. This is something that you're going to put into your daily routine, and it's so easy. Now you can get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase by going to getsuperbeets.com/grace. That's two free gifts valued at over $50, only available at getsuperbeets.com/grace. That's getsuperbeets.com/grace. 844-500-4242. I'm taking all calls next segment, so call in now, and we'll be talking all about impeachment, Joe Biden, Jen Psaki, whatever you guys are thinking of. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The actions taken by the prior administration to, for all intents and purposes,
That was Jen Psaki. Jared's been pulling some sound of that. So the way our show is set up, we go from 12 to 3. It seems like we're going to have a press conference, Jared, like every single day.
It does, for all intents and purposes, seem that way.
Jared, I think there was another slip of the tongue that happened today. Could we play that one, please?
The Biden-Harris administration to ensure that we are taking steps to increase access.
Is Chuck Schumer in the building?
Donald John Trump incited the erection.
What is happening? These guys got to get their mind out of the gutter.
The Biden-Harris administration to ensure that we are taking steps to...
I don't know. Dirty, dirty minds. Guys, I did want to talk a little bit here, Jared, about Trump officially opening up the office of the former president. I know. I saw this and I thought this is going to make Jared really happy because this is Trump trolling the left. And I think the left did Trump a huge favor by banning him from Twitter, because if this is what he's forced to do now, I don't think it was the right thing to do. But I think it's going to hurt the left more than it's going to hurt Donald Trump, because they love to point to his tweets and say he's unhinged. And now that they've silenced him, it's like, was he unhinged, or was he just saying stuff you guys didn't like? And now that he's going to release these press statements with all this fancy heading that says office of the former president, and it's got like this some seal on it. And he put it out yesterday, and it did exactly... Sometimes I almost feel bad for liberals, because I'm like, you're giving him exactly what he wants. They started freaking out. I thought they were going to try to impeach him for that. Say, after we finish this impeachment in the next 100 days, after the first 100 days, then we'll impeach him for this, I don't even know what it was. It was a press release, I guess, with a fancy, you know, symbol thing on it.
Well, now the best part about this is all the great historians on the left that are losing their minds and clutching their pearls about this. We're going to start talking about the Logan Act is going to come up again, even though I have no idea what the Logan Act is. The Hatch Act is going to come up, even though I have no idea what the Hatch Act is.
This is what he said. He said, a statement from the office on Monday night said that it will manage Trump's correspondence, public statements, appearances, and official activities to advance the interests of the United States. That's what John Kerry's been doing for the last 4 years.
Right.
So what's wrong with it? I'd rather President Trump advancing policies than John Kerry.
I just can't wait for President Trump to pull the troops back out of Syria.
The office will also carry on the agenda of the Trump administration through advocacy, organizing, and public activism. And all at once.
Sounds like rioting to me.
All at once, the TDS sufferers all over the world screamed. I was on Twitter. I was laughing so hard. Because this is what's on Twitter. He's living rent-free in all of the blue check marks' heads, even when he's not on Twitter anymore. They're all publishing his letter. He's still the most powerful person on Twitter when he's not there. And then you have all of these stories about how Joe Biden's dogs are running around the White House lawn. It's amazing.
The entirety of this government is so disgusting that anything that disrupts it, I am all about. That's why I'm all about Donald Trump.
Oh, he is.
Keep it going, Donnie. Just keep it going, Mr. President.
He is the number one troll. How many people do you know could send out a picture of a piece of stationery and have people's heads explode all at once?
It was black and white, too. It didn't even have colors. Wait until the color version shows up.
Wait until he gets one of those fancy stamps, like a seal. They're going to go crazy. Guys, we'll be back on the other side. We're talking masks, Governor Gavin Newsom, and more. Don't go anywhere.